Our Father, we just thank you so very much that you are good and you're faithful, and everything that you do is always in our best interest. We can trust you because everything that you do is perfect in every way. And Father, we just want to thank you for all the blessings that you've provided for us. We ask your blessing on Lauren's new step in life of starting this job, and wherever that may lead, we just pray that you will guide that in every single way. And thank you for blessing her life and giving her so much that she was able to share with us today. And so we just commit this time to you, God, and we thank you that this is a day that has such deep meaning, because this is where you share yourself with us in a way that was never available before this day that we are commemorating. And we ask your blessing on this sermon, and especially our understanding, so that we can have a transformation in our lives as a result of what you have to say as we read your word. And we say this and ask this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. We have a very exciting topic, and that is the priceless meaning revealed in Pentecost. And Pentecost, most everybody thinks of it as the birthday of the church. That's something everybody knows and so on. And it's a celebration of the receiving of the Holy Spirit. But there's a lot more to Pentecost. And there are so many different things that we can learn. But there's something behind the scenes that's really very, very important. And I watched this video that I thought was very helpful. But there's so much that this individual is not talking spiritually, but there's a message behind what he's saying that I've shared with you many, many times, but I just love this. It's a one-minute video, and it helps us to realize something that I would like to share with all of us that Pentecost brought to us that is priceless beyond words.
You cannot win an argument with your husband, and he can't win a husband can't win an argument with his wife. Not unless he wants to defeat her, in which case...
He defeats himself.
Well, he lives with a defeated woman. Like, well, seriously.
I thought he was going to go so deep with it.
What good is that going to be? That's not helpful.
And like, you guys are one. So if you defeat her, you defeat yourself.
Well, not least because now you're living with someone who's defeated and bitter. Mm. It's not helpful. You can't win an argument. You can't stomp around and insist that you were right. You happen to be the person who's better at making verbal arguments. Well, one of the things you want to do is, if your wife has a problem with you, you want to help her make her argument, just on the off chance that she's got something to say, because maybe she's right, you know, and it's going to be in her interest to straighten you out if she has any sense, and it would be in your interest to listen. And so you want to find out. You want to find out so you don't have to bring the trouble forward.
If there's any one thing that we would love to have and see in everybody's lives is happy marriages. And not just marriages, getting along with your neighbor and all sorts of things. And this is only available if you really want to have the power that it takes in order to have this kind of relationship like Jesus was, because that's exactly who Jesus was. You need this humility that comes from the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit was given to us on the day of Pentecost. They didn't have it in the Old Covenant. The Holy Spirit was with them, but not in them. And that's the beautiful thing. But it requires humility, and it requires repentance and surrendering to God. That's why on the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 people baptized in one day. And the baptism is all about burying yourself and coming up to a whole new way of life where Jesus Christ is in control of your life. And this is what we need to see and understand so that we don't ever have to ever have an argument with anybody ever. You don't need to do that. You know, like he brings out here, I thought it was so beautiful that, you know, all you're doing is you're hurting yourself and you're hurting somebody else when you get in an argument. What's wrong with listening? God wants us to listen. He listens to us. If there's any one thing God does, he's always listening. And a lot of times we just don't want to listen. We just want my way or the highway and so on. And so if there's any one lesson I'd like for us to learn, and God wants us to learn, is we need to learn to listen and see what God is working out behind the scenes rather than thinking that we know everything. There's a way that seems right to us, But God's word says this is the right way to do things. And so let's begin by taking a look at John chapter 14. And here we see the disciples in the upper room, and they had just gone through the foot washing ceremony and so on. And Jesus is dumping something on them that they were not he was warning them and letting them know, you're going to be shocked at what's going to be happening to you. Well, a lot of times we may be shocked because of something that happens in our life, and we say, well, how can I navigate this? Well, Jesus was explaining to them all here how to navigate a time when all of a sudden everything changes. Because when Jesus ascended to heaven and he was no longer a part of their family, so to speak, the 12 apostles, it is so important that we understand these things so that we can avoid conflict and difficulties that are so unnecessary. But let's take a look here in the apostles as they are being told something that is quite surprising to them. John chapter 14, let's begin in verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And this is so important for us. He commands us. This is another one of the 365 commands in the Bible of fear not. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't worry. Worry and faith are antonyms. If you're worrying about something, you're basically saying, God, I don't trust you. And so the only way you get rid of worry is you ask God to give you his peace. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. And if you want to have peace instead of worry, ask God to give you his peace. And God can just take that away. Another scripture he says is cast all your care upon him, where it says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. What is his yoke? The Holy Spirit. And learn of me, for my yoke is easy. Most people think, oh, being a Christian is so tough. No, the easiest thing on the face of the earth when you do it the right way is being a Christian, because God does it all. All we have to do is be instruments, and he works in us and through us, and he does things that we could never do anyway on our own. That's what this day, that's why we're celebrating this day, because not is it just a birthday of the church, but it's the birthday of we have where Jesus Christ now lives in us, not with us. Jesus was with them in the Old Testament, but now he is in us. And there's a vast difference. And that happened on this day of Pentecost. And all of a sudden, I mean, we can go through that, but we already covered that in a previous sermon recently of Acts chapter 2. But we're going to go through now John 14. And he says, trust in God. It may, those three words are priceless. Trust in God. Trust also in me, because he is God. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit all are God. They are a part of the God family. In my Father's house are many rooms. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. Isn't that nice to know that Jesus Christ went to heaven after his resurrection to prepare a place in the kingdom for you? When he says you, he's talking about the church, those in whom Jesus Christ is living his life. He is right now working in your life, preparing you that place, and he is preparing that place for you as well. But he sent the Holy Spirit down here to live in you, to prepare you for that place. And do you know where that place is? That place is when Christ comes back, he is our head and we are his body, and we're going to be joined with him. That's a pretty high place. You can't get any higher place than being joined to the creator of the universe. And so anytime you begin doubting and worrying about, oh, I wonder if I'm going to make, you know, just all we have to do is believe. Don't doubt. When you doubt what God's word says, James chapter 1 says, you're up the creek and you won't even have a paddle. You'll be going in circles just trying to figure out which direction to go. He goes on to say, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back, that's a promise, and take you to be with me, so that where you also may be where I am. Most people think that's in heaven. It's not. Well, it is in a way, because heaven's already here. Most people don't realize that. But heaven is a totally different dimension. The angel of the Lord encamps around about those that fear him and delivers them. Why don't we see them? Because they're in a heavenly dimension. And that's what's going to happen with us. We'll be reigning with Jesus Christ and having that opportunity to be in a spiritual dimension and be like Jesus Christ, as John chapter 3, verses 1 through 2 makes it very clear. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Because they didn't get it, because the Holy Spirit was not in them. Jesus was with them. But when he came, all of a sudden they say, oh, now I get it. Once you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, you begin to see things in the Bible you never saw before. That's why it's an exciting journey, because the more you read the Word, the more wisdom and knowledge and understanding God is going to give to you, because it comes right out of the Word that most people can't see because they don't have the gift of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. You want to find out what the truth is? Most people think truth is a particular doctrine or something. That's garbage. Now, it is true, but it's not what Jesus said. Because doctrine is important, but some doctrine is twisted. You can't twist Jesus. He is the truth forever. Because he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We wouldn't even be here if it were not for him giving us his life. That's what keeps us going, because that life goes back to God. When you die, that spirit that gives you life into your body goes back to God who gave it. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the way God the Father designed it. He wanted to glorify the Son. The Son wants to glorify the Father, and the Father and the Son glorify the Holy Spirit because they sent him here to do the work that they needed to be doing so that they can be doing what they're focusing on in their individual responsibilities. And so God wants us to be that way. He wants us to esteem others better than ourselves, to look up to people and see them the way God sees them, because God sees things the way they're going to be. Once God opens their eyes, you see your neighbor and they say, oh man, I don't know how I'm ever going to get along with him. Look at him from the perspective of when he's converted and love them with that kind of love. It's unconditional love. Because the day is going to come when God is going to open the eyes of every single person on the face of this earth. He says, who will have all men? That's his heart's desire. He's not going to be picky-unish. No, he's going to give everybody an opportunity. They can choose to accept it or reject it. He goes on to say, verse 7, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him, because you saw Jesus. Because he says, well, we'll see that as he goes on. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. That'll be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after he wrote this, but the thing is, God was writing this for our admonition, upon whom the rest of the world or ends of the world are come. Jesus knew he didn't get it, but he's helping him to understand that the time is going to come. He's going to open his eyes. It was on the day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit was going to come. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? This is the spectacular gift on the day of Pentecost, is we can actually have God the Father as well as Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit living in us. Jesus said, my Father who is in me, he does the works. We can say, Jesus Christ who is in me, he does the works. Because that's what we just talked about. Come unto me, who all you are weak and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Because he wants to live in us. The words that I say are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. So even Jesus realized, as a physical human being, he couldn't do anything. He was just a physical human being, but the Father in him performed miracles and blew people's minds with the resurrections and healings of a blind man from birth and all sorts of amazing things. The Father did it through Jesus, just like he can do things through us if we pray according to his will. And so believe in me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves, because they didn't get it yet until the day of Pentecost. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. It's astounding. That indicates that God has some plans in store for those who put their faith in him. Sounds pretty exciting to me. He will do even greater things. How can we do greater things than Jesus? He was God in the flesh and so on. But there's so many other factors, because he's talking about when the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus Christ is going to be living in lots of people, and lots of people are going to be doing things that the Holy Spirit's going to do through them. And the greater is far more things that are going to be done miraculously, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He specializes in miraculous things. When somebody's life is transformed and changed and they begin to see things from God's perspective and they're converted and so on, that is a miracle, far, far more valuable than walking on water or even healing somebody, because that person is going to die. The most important thing we can have is Jesus Christ living in us or someone else or anybody that matter. He will do even greater things, and that's because Jesus did a lot of physical things, but the greater things that God's body, the church, is going to be doing are spiritual things, because that's what we focus on, is guiding people into all truth, and Jesus Christ is that truth. Because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. Now, that's interesting. What does it mean, in my name? We need to understand that that's not saying just to make sure that you end your prayer with in Jesus' name. That is good, and it's a very good thing. But when you're doing something in the name of Jesus Christ, we need to make sure that we are using the Holy Spirit when we're making decisions and asking God to guide us and so on. Because he says, you're going to know the Holy Spirit. You're not going to see the Holy Spirit. You're going to know. That means God's going to reveal it to you in your heart and so on. Because he goes on to say, verse 13, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may be glorying to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. When it says you, he's talking about the body of Christ, the church. But in my name means according to his will. Every prayer you pray that is, say, your will be done, God is always going to fulfill his will. We have to trust him to do his will, not our will. A lot of times when we pray, we're saying, my will be done, but we don't say those words. We just want, God, please do this, please do that, please do this, please do that. That may not be God's will. And so that's why we have to pray in the name of Jesus means what you need to make sure that what you're asking for, Jesus would be asking the Father for the same way. It's always in the best interest of everybody involved. And then God says, whatever it is, I will do it. Because God wants to fulfill his will, not ours. Because his will is a million times better than ours, because he's perfect. So if you, verse 15, if you love me, you will obey what I have commanded. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor or comforter to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, because it goes in one ear and out the other until they repent. God says, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promises to you and to your children. God will give it to anybody who is willing to repent. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Because prior to the day of Pentecost is when he's speaking to them up in the upper room. I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you, and before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. Because you'll see the fruit of the Holy Spirit coming out in our lives. And that's the proof. When you have unconditional love that you know that didn't come from me, you know, when you have peace that passes all understanding, when you have joy, when you are going through a trial, when you say, oh God, thank you. I don't know what you're going to do here, but I know you've promised that you'll deliver me out of all of my afflictions. And you can rejoice. God says, rejoice evermore. No matter what you're going through, we can rejoice because God is in the process. He's working in us, and he will do the works. Like Jesus said, my Father who is in me, he does the works. Verse 20, on that day you will realize, that's the day of Pentecost, that I am in my Father and you are in me. Wow. You are in Christ. Not as just Christ is in you, but you are in Christ. I mean, what an honor when you comprehend what a gift and blessing that that is. And I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, because God makes it very clear, God gives his Holy Spirit to those who obey him, Acts 5:29. Very, very important. But if we don't obey, just like if your boss tells you to do something, you do something else, that's not going to go over very well. You're probably going to either get fired or you're going to get punished for something. Well, the way God punishes, it's already built into society. When you sin, sin brings its own penalty. And when you don't obey God, it automatically affects your character, your perspective, your attitude. Everything is being affected. So God says, whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. But whoever obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, there's two Judases there, and said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who has sent me, because God the Father was speaking through him at that time. And that's what we need to be praying all day long, praying without ceasing, that God will speak through us so that we can get ourselves out of the way and that what we say glorifies God. Verse 25, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And you'll notice that thoughts will pop into your mind about things you know right well you need to be doing. And just ask God to guide you and to thank him for reminding you of the things that you know you should have been doing in the first place. Like praying. Sometimes we forget. Do you ever forget? Nah, nobody forgets, do we? We're human. But God will remind us. And we need to step up to the plate and realize that we need to be praying and studying God's word. If you don't study God's word, you're never going to know the truth like you could have known it if you were reading the word and asking God to reveal to you what he wants you to understand. Now he says in verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. That's what we were talking about earlier. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Another couple of commands to add up to the 365 commands of not worrying about anything. Let God handle it. You heard me say, I am going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And notice that. God wants us to always look up to others. God says to esteem others better than yourself. When you look up to people, they want to work with you. If you look down on people, they want to stay away from you. And that's why Jesus set an example. He was always exalting the Father. The Father was exalting Jesus. And we need to exalt others. Ask God to help us to see the good in people and help magnify that so that they will be encouraged and inspired to pursue more of that which you've noticed that they were doing that was encouraging and helpful. Verse 29, I have told you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you will believe. To let them know that this day is going to come and you're going to have this revelation. You're going to have the Holy Spirit guiding you and he's going to prompt you. He's going to lead you. He's going to live in you. He's going to not just be beside you, but he's going to inhabit your spirit. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So I will not speak much with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. We know who he is, but he's the prince. He's not the king. Satan is the god of this world, and he's a prince, but he was one of the archangels. But he has no hold on me, but the world must learn. That's why God put him here in the Garden of Eden. The whole world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now and let us leave. And so here we need to see, here's a beautiful scripture to help people realize, what are we supposed to be doing? Exactly what Jesus says. I do exactly. Interesting. The word exactly means what? Last time I read, that means exactly. It makes it pretty cool. I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. How are we going to know what that is if we don't read it? So it's so important to be reading the scriptures so we know exactly what God says to do. And if you're not sure about something and you, because sometimes people twist it around, you hear things can be twisted around, but make sure that it doesn't violate any other scripture. Put all the scriptures together to find out what the truth is, because thy word, all of the word of God is the truth. But when we do exactly what the Father has commanded us to do, then you're going to be obedient and God is going to bless you like you never thought possible. So we have so much to be thankful for. This is the priceless meaning revealed in Pentecost, is God is living in us. It's not just celebrating a particular day. We're celebrating the transformation in our lives of Jesus living in us every single minute, hour of every single day. To God be the glory. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you have such a phenomenal future ahead for us. We don't deserve it, Father, but it's your grace. Grace is where we receive something we don't deserve. And we don't deserve anything. But you deserve all the praise because you are a giver. You are full of grace. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by your Son, Jesus Christ. And so thank you, Father, for giving us Jesus and that he can live in us with you and the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth so that we can have the most rewarding and blessed life imaginable because you want to share your life with us. And Father, to you be all the glory now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.